When Donald Trump entered the White House in January 2017, he brought with him a New York real estate developer's playbook that was fundamentally incompatible with presidential power. For decades, Trump had operated in a world where consequences amounted to little more than bad press and civil settlements. The presidency, however, operated under entirely different constraints, where conflicts of interest matter, separation of powers is sacred, and even the appearance of impropriety carries serious weight. This fundamental misunderstanding would trigger unprecedented chaos at the highest levels of American government. At the center of this constitutional storm stood two unlikely figures, FBI Director James Comey and White House Counsel Don McGahn. Neither man particularly liked Trump, yet both found themselves in positions where their decisions would shape the trajectory of his presidency. Their stories reveal how America's institutions bent, cracked, and sometimes broke under the weight of a president determined to test every boundary placed before him. What makes this clash so fascinating isn't just Trump's disregard for norms, but how the guardrails of American democracy responded when truly tested. The system wasn't designed for a president who viewed law enforcement as his personal protection service or who considered the Justice Department his private legal team. By summer 2016, FBI Director James Comey had grown alarmed by America's partisan divide. When Attorney General Lynch directed him to align with Clinton campaign messaging by calling the investigation a matter, he viewed it as political interference. This drove his July decision to independently announce the Clinton email investigation's conclusion, declaring her handling of classified information extremely careless but not criminal. Comey believed the polarized climate required a full explanation beyond the outcome. The Clinton campaign strategically accepted Comey's conclusions rather than contest them. Despite viewing his actions as inappropriate, they avoided confrontation, with only former DOJ spokesman Matt Miller publicly calling it an abuse of power. No one foresaw how this decision would enable Trump's presidency and trigger a constitutional crisis, ultimately placing Comey at odds with a president demanding absolute loyalty. While Americans focused on their presidential campaign, Russia's Internet Research Agency orchestrated a sophisticated disinformation operation while Russian intelligence services conducted extensive political hacking. American intelligence agencies misread Russia's intentions, viewing their activities as routine intelligence gathering rather than preparation for weaponizing information. By summer 2016, officials remained largely oblivious to the disinformation campaign. Senate Majority Leader McConnell even dozed off during a classified briefing. Trump's Russian ties deepened concerns. Since 1987, he cultivated Russian relationships, openly praising Putin by 2007. His business dealings raised red flags, notably selling a Florida mansion to Russian oligarch Dmitry Ribolovlev for $95 million, double his purchase price. The Trump campaign drew multiple Russia-linked figures. Michael Cohen pursued Trump Tower Moscow. Carter Page leaked documents to Russian intelligence. George Papadopoulos established Russian channels, and Paul Manafort maintained costly ties to oligarch Oleg Deripaska. Past counterintelligence failures had made the FBI overly cautious about entering this political minefield, hesitation that would profoundly impact the investigation and nation. In late September 2016, FBI agents investigating Anthony Weiner discovered over 300,000 emails on his laptop, including Clinton's private correspondence from her first months as Secretary of State, a period previously missing from the investigation. The discovery remained unnoticed by senior FBI leadership until mid-October, when Justice Department official George Toscas inquired about it after an unrelated meeting. On October 27, Comey learned about the thousands of unexamined Clinton emails. With the election 12 days away, he faced reopening the closed investigation. That evening, he shared the news with his wife Patrice, who warned against acting so close to the election. But Comey, having promised Congress transparency, feared a quiet investigation would leak. The next morning, Comey sent his letter to Congress, which immediately leaked and created the political firestorm his wife predicted. After Trump's victory, Comey questioned if they had influenced the outcome, unaware he would later become a target of Trump's vengeance. Had these emails been discovered just weeks earlier or later, history might have unfolded differently. Intelligence revealed Michael Flynn, Trump's incoming national security advisor, spoke with Russian Ambassador Kislyak multiple times after Obama announced sanctions, urging Russia not to retaliate. When Pence and Priebus publicly denied Flynn discussed sanctions, Comey feared either a cover-up or Flynn's deception. Comey sent agents to interview Flynn at the White House without standard notifications. Flynn lied about the ambassador discussions, making bizarre comments about a beautiful black sky in broad daylight. Despite acting AG Sally Yates warning of Flynn's vulnerability to Russian blackmail, he remained until the Washington Post exposed the sanctions talks. The day after Flynn's resignation, Trump privately told Comey, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy." Comey documented this conversation in a memo. Trump later called Comey directly to complain about the Russia investigation and demand public exoneration, creating an inevitable confrontation. In May 2017, Trump ordered White House counsel Don McGahn to fire special counsel Mueller, citing minor grievances like golf club fees. McGahn refused, warning it would appear suspicious after Comey's dismissal. Trump escalated his demands in June, repeatedly calling McGahn during his birthday weekend about removing Mueller. McGahn refused to contact Rosenstein, fearing parallels to Nixon's Saturday night massacre. Though McGahn had a resignation letter ready and began clearing his office, Bannon and Priebus convinced him to stay by emphasizing his role in judicial appointments. His lawyer had warned that firing Mueller could implicate McGahn in obstruction. By late 2017, McGahn became a key witness for Mueller's team, reporting Trump's potentially obstructive acts, placing him in the difficult position of choosing between institutional duty and presidential loyalty. When Mueller delivered his 448-page report in 2019, Attorney General Barr shaped the narrative by selectively quoting findings favorable to Trump. Where Mueller detailed Russian interference, Barr declared no conspiracy and claimed insufficient evidence of obstruction, contradicting Mueller's team. Despite Mueller's two letters protesting this mischaracterization, Barr refused to release Mueller's summaries, declaring, "It was my baby." The report revealed multiple instances of obstruction, including Trump directing Lewandowski to pressure Sessions to unrecuse himself, with four clear cases of Trump impeding the investigation. Mueller's scope was limited. Rosenstein had restricted him to criminal matters without informing FBI leadership. After Mueller's testimony, Trump's call with Ukrainian President Zelensky, requesting investigations into Joe Biden's son while linking these requests to White House meetings and military aid, led to his impeachment. Only Romney broke Republican ranks during acquittal. The impeachment's failure marked the collapse of institutional checks. After acquittal, Barr dismantled investigations threatening Trump, ultimately dropping Flynn's prosecution. While democracy's guardrails bent but didn't break, the true test isn't whether institutions can withstand a single assault, but whether they can recover their strength after repeated attacks.